Amen, amen, amen. Come on in. Welcome, Harvest Christian Church. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome you, Jesus. Good morning, good morning. Well, 80% of life is showing up, and you showed up, so you're about ready to be blessed. Amen? Well, good morning, and we'll do it several times, but wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. We'll get, we appreciate you and honor you this morning, and there'll be several times in the service where we'll honor you again, so let's pray and let's welcome His presence. Father, we thank you. Your presence has already gone before us. And we thank you that you are here. And so we come in and we come in agreement with you that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. And so we thank you for a manifestation of your presence, a visible manifestation. We welcome right now. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us again. Fill us again. Do it again. We thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. That's our portion. We thank you this morning that you're already performing. You're already doing miracles, manifesting. So we say, manifest yourself. Show us your glory this morning, Lord, in a fresh and new way. We welcome your fullness right now. We welcome the fullness of Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you, Jesus. You are our hope of glory. And our eyes are fixed on you this morning. And we press in to encounter you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Begin to thank Him right now. Begin to thank Him. Thank Him for what He's doing. Thank Him for what He's about to do. Welcome your awesome presence. We thank you. We thank you in your presence's fullness. So we welcome your fullness right now. Welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit.
In this time of desperation, when all we hear is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in you, Holy Spirit, that you've given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that you conquered death. We believe in the resurrection and you're coming back again. We believe. We believe the cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. Has the final word. final word. The cross has the final word. 'Cause you traded death for eternal life. The cross has the final word. Yes, Lord. Of the cross. He bought his bride back. Yes. And he said, it is finished. Amen. And now we gather together as one. This is a house of worship. This is a house of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name.
this is the hour what I have told you about the confrontation. I am confronting those things that you have allowed to hinder my workings in you and through you. And as I begin to confront those things, those who resist, they will allow those things to begin to dry out within them. But those who embrace my confrontation would grow with me, would go with me, and would flow with me in this earth, in this time, in this season. So do not allow condemnation to hold you back. But as you begin to give yourself more to my workings in you and through you, my conviction will keep you on your toes, ready to go with me, says the Spirit of the Lord.
They say that the miracles in this house are big. They're even huger than the sun. And they're going into you, and they're in you right now, and they're doing work. And you're going to have to put in the work to make it to where you can even release more miracles to make even more hearts blessed and for everyone in this world to live with miracles and to have peace between everyone and for everything to be to where nothing has to have fight into the end.
Yes.
Put your hands on your spirit, on your belly. For I hear the Lord say that not only is this a house of miracles, but you are a house of miracles.
Yes.
For you are the temple of my spirit, and in you I live, move, and have my being. For I am stirring up on the inside of you those things that were dead, and I'm stirring up on the inside of you and bringing fresh life. I am breathing resurrection power into your innermost being, and I'm causing those things that were dying or stale or stagnant to begin to move and come alive. For I would say that you are a house of miracles, for you are my temple, saith the Lord, and I want you to live, move, and have your being with me, saith the Lord. For this is the time to shake off all that heaviness, to shake off those things that have hindered you, to put on the new garment of praise, a new garment of worship. For as you put on the new garment, you'll begin to see things break out, things become alive. And the Lord said, this is a time for miracles, and you are my house of miracles. So come alive in me, saith the Lord. Come alive in me.
Again, I say, rejoice, 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 for this is your time. This is a new beginning for you. No more delay, no more sickness, no more just laying there and saying, I can't do it. No more just saying, I can't do it. This is your time. Do it! Do it! Do it!
Yes!
Closer, closer than my skin. I rejoice in you, oh God. You are in the air I'm breathing in. But here's where the dead leaves come back to naming. I feel my heart beating again. Feels so communion. where I'm meant to be. Me and you me. I don't have to prove a thing. You've already approved of me. This is where I'm meant to be. Creating me.
I desire your friendship with me. You can be my good friend. If you don't feel like you're good enough to be God's friend, that's okay. Come to him first. Come to me first. Come, I desire friendship with you. I covet friendship with you. Come to me. Be my friend. I desire friendship with you.
Let Holy Spirit minister to you this morning. He knows right where you're at.
Yes. Yes.
And he comes to the center, the very core.
Thank you, Jesus.
He knows what you're crying out for, but he knows what you need most.
Yes.
And so, Father, we welcome Holy Spirit. Come in, Holy Spirit. Illuminate Jesus to us. Reveal him to us. Come close. Touch our hearts. Transform us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's just bless him this morning. He's doing something. He's doing a work. He's doing a work in our hearts this morning. And the work that you begun, you said you'll bring to completion. So we say, let that completion be accomplished in me. The fullness of Jesus, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father, for the work of the cross. Thank you for the power of resurrection. Resurrection life working on the inside of me. not only working in me, but working through me. Manifesting. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We thank you. We honor you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him praise. Give him honor right now. He's worthy. May be seated. Laura, get a couple of people back there. A couple of people go back, men, to help Laura hand these out. And get those, we want them handed out right now to all the ladies. And all the ladies can receive this. It's a little bit different. You'll see in a minute. You don't have to open it up. Well, I pray that you don't open it up. Come on in, and each, ladies, it doesn't matter if you're a mom, but all the ladies take this. We have enough to give out. You understand it, so. Those who have been attending Harvest for some time and know that over the years that these kind of mornings, Mother's Day is always not my best. And pressing into the Lord and but as I was pressing in this morning for moms and ladies, and we were worshiping, I saw that, you know, in the cloud of witnesses in heaven, I believe moms have the box seats up front. And I'll tell you why I believe they have the box seats. Because they're making intercession for their seeds that are still on the earth. And the Lord was showing me that the hardest job in the world is being a mom. Now, some of you guys may argue it, but because their job doesn't start at birth, and it doesn't stop when they leave the house. Their job never stops, and they keep interceding and praying. So I believe the hardest job in the world, as I watch my wife Linda, and I watch all my daughters and daughter-in-law and all that. It's a hard job.
Yes.
It's easy. In fact, I won't say birth is easier, but birth is an event.
Yeah.
Come on.
And raising children is a lifetime.
Yes.
It's harder to raise the child than to give birth. You say, ladies, you say birth is hard. You don't know what you're talking about. Just think about it. After the baby's in your hands, you forget about all that pain. And now a lot of other pain starts to happen. You're constantly giving birth in each season that child goes. And they never really leave the house. You moms carry them. And some of you are still carrying and interceding. So I believe the hardest job in the world is being a mom. It's 24/7. You don't get to go home after hours. You're on call 24/7. And so I honor the mothers, ladies here this morning, those that yet to be mothers. I honor you, and we're going to talk about that, but before you open this up, it says, Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed in strength and dignity. I want to say you're clothed in strength. And she laughs without fear of the future. I like that. Because you see the future in those that you're giving birth to. And those yet to manifest the seed and legacy. And so we honor you this morning. It seems like a strange honoring if you open it up to give you some seeds. But we don't understand. These are only seeds if you keep them in this pocket. They're only seeds if you keep them in the package. If we gave you a candy bar, that candy bar might be gone before you get out of here. If we give you some fresh flowers, it might last a week. But these seeds can literally last a lifetime. Some of you have annuals, and I know that annuals, but if you take the seeds out of the annuals, you can have annuals for next year and the next year. And so the worst thing that can happen, you take home and you look at the picture of them. But I'm going to talk about seeds this morning, but I wanted to give these out. And what triggered this was, Laura triggered this. We were trying to think, what can we honor moms with and ladies with? And she went on search and came back. So I found something. I thought, what are we going to do with this? And then Holy Spirit dropped it in me. So this morning I got a message about seeds. Because if you understand seeds, you're going to understand God. If you don't understand seeds, you can't understand Him. So God always takes the natural. So we'll pray over the kids. Did they already leave? No. Let's pray over them because this is the seeds and, the seeds of the next generation and the potential of the generation behind them is in them. And so, Father, we just bless right now this next generation and the generation after them. We thank you that you're a generational God, a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we declare over these generations, in them is the seeds for the next generation. We don't know if it's generation Z, X, Y, Z, or Alpha, or Beta, or whatever it is, whatever the generation is going to be called. We know that they're in seed form right now because you wrote them in your book of life before they're conceived in the womb. You know their potential. You know the days of their life. And so we thank you that Trace and her team are unlocking the seeds on the inside, that there's no junior Holy Spirit, and we release Holy Spirit, have an encounter with the Word and Holy Spirit in these young ones right now, that they'll run this next leg with fire in Jesus' name. And bless Chase and her team in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a praise. While they're being dismissed, real quick, a couple announcements. You don't want to miss this Wednesday. We're starting our prophetic training. We're going to be doing several. You just don't want to miss it. It's 3 weeks. Everybody. You know, revival talks about in the last days. And the book of Acts says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So if you want to be a part of the end time revival, you're going to have to prophesy. So the next 3 weeks on Wednesdays, the 17th, 24th, and 31st from 7 o'clock, Prophet Susie's going to be activating. And it's not just a refreshing course. It's not the same old. Come and get refreshed. If you're new in this, you're in the revival, you all can prophesy. That's what Scripture says.
That's right.
So if you're going to be part of the end time revival, you better be a prophesying machine. Because prophecy unlocks the destiny of people on the inside. And people are crying out to know what the future is. And prophecy unlocks the future and the destiny of people. It unlocks their legacy. So you don't want to miss this.
Amen.
We're going to be doing several short, I just felt short teachings. They're not the modules. We're just going to do them. But this is just one. But we need to be prophetic people.
Yes.
You need to know what it means to prophesy, why we prophesy, but then be activated. So in 3 weeks, we're going to have a prophesying machine in this church. Oh. Amen? Because as people come in, they need to hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so the Bible says all can prophesy. So starting this Wednesday, you don't want to miss it. If you miss this Wednesday, you come back the next one. But don't miss them. It's not like listening to it on tape. The activation comes when you're there. Amen? It's not the same as when you're not there. That's just fact. Amen. It's good, but it's not as good as when you're there. So be there, Prophet Susie. Even is there a sign up? I don't know if there's sign up. Just show up. Sign up. And then on the 10th of June, we have a Saturday morning again from 9:30 to 12:30. We'll be meeting for a covenant partnership class, those who want to go through that again. And you don't have to go through the process of right hand of fellowship, but you hear the DNA and the destiny of Harvest Christian Church. And last few weeks we've had about 25 people receive the right hand of fellowship, receive prophecy. Six more are going to, that went through that, are going to receive prophecy after the service through the prophetic teams. So we believe in the prophetic and releasing people's destiny. So today, six more will be prophesied by Prophet Susie's team and Apostle Linda. So you're in a good place. And then just a lot of things happening. So stay alert. You can pay. You can give online. You can give in the pew. We don't receive an offering. There's boxes out in the foyer. You bring your tithes and your offerings. You can give it online. You can give over off the website. You can give it text. You can give it all these ways. I don't know all the ways. For me, it's just old school. Just write a check, put it in the envelope, put it in the box. So let's do that. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I want to talk to you about seeds. A few weeks ago, we talked about light and darkness. God uses practical things to teach us spiritual things. And he said to the disciples, if you don't understand the natural things and the practical things, how in the world am I going to, and this is a paraphrase, how in the world am I going to teach you spiritual things? So Jesus, when he taught parables, he taught natural things first to tell you how the kingdom of God operates in spiritual things. So a few weeks ago, we had just a powerful time, and I just getting a lot of comments about light and darkness. In Bible interpretation, you go back to the law of first mention. Light and darkness, you can't go back any further than Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So, in the beginning, that's going way back. And so, the law of first mention says that in the beginning, God created light, and he said, let there be light, and light was. And he separated the light from the darkness. And then he goes in and he compares spiritual darkness with spiritual light and the glory of God. So if you understand darkness, the culture of darkness, you understand the culture of the kingdom of God. And he says in the New Testament, he's rescued you from the domain of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Woo! That's getting born again. He snatches you out of darkness. That's where you were. In fact, keep your place there because we'll just start with light again and darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, I love this. In Ephesians 5 and verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness. Before you got born again, you were just dark. Yep. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's no middle of the road. You weren't just a good person. Yes.
That's right.
See, eating out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is still evil. No matter how good you are in the natural, it's still dark.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. So he says you were, so this is, we all who are born again, who believe Jesus Christ, we were all one time just dark. That's why the world out there does the things they do, because their culture is dark. That's all they know. We'll talk about that in a minute. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now, I love the buts in the scripture. But God, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgrace even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Wow. So when you got snatched out of darkness and put in the kingdom of God, you might just be a little, let this little light shine, but man, you keep letting it shine and it's going to get brighter and brighter. And he's releasing a fire on you right now. Father, I release a fire right now upon every believer. We're called to be, Father, the light of the world. And we thank you that we refuse to let our light be covered up. And we thank you right now. Let fire burn in Jesus' name. Okay, let's get back to the Genesis. We're in Genesis 1. The second thing he talks about here in Genesis 1 is seeds. Did you know that? In Genesis 1, and you can walk down, he talks about the separating the expanse of heaven from the waters. That's day 2. But day 3 happens like this. It says in verse 11, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. This was the evening, and this was morning, a third day.
Yeah.
Now, very slowly, let's look at this. Verse 11, he says, plants yielding seed. So it doesn't stop with just the seed that's in your little envelope.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning.
Right.
If you leave it in the envelope, and we'll talk about this as we go, if you leave it in the envelope, that's the end of the seed. In fact, I looked on the envelope, and if you look, someone will find it. There's an expiration date on there.
Yeah.
So if you wait to plant that seed, you're going to miss an opportune time to experience the fullness of what that seed can produce. But notice what it says. It says that plants yielding seed and the fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind. So the seed that you have only yields after its kind. You can look at that and you say, I believe this is going to be an orange tree. And you can plant it. But I'm going to guarantee you that when it sprouts and it matures, you're not going to have any oranges on it.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because God in his creation created everything to produce after its own kind.
Amen.
And after its own kind, he's given you seed to keep producing.
Come on.
That's why you don't eat all your seed. Now, I could go into giving on this. Some of you are eating all your seed and wondering why you're not getting any produce.
Hey.
He says, sow, bring your tithes and your offerings, sow seed.
Yeah.
So every tithe, you keep sowing seed. You're keeping alive.
Yep.
In fact, in Malachi, it says this. How many would like God to rebuke the devourer for your sake? I mean, we're in a war. We've been talking about that. We have an enemy.
Yes.
He's out to kill, destroy, and steal from you. The way you can get God involved in rebuking the devourer for you is through tithing.
Amen.
He says, watch me. I'll rebuke the devourer to keep him from devouring your fruit.
Yes.
So you want to keep your fruit alive in the earth. So, seeds. It says here in verse 11 again, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. So you might see the seed, but you need to see what's in those seed. If you eat all the seed, you know, if you keep planting seeds, Johnny Appleseed, that's all he did. He kept producing seeds, and after generations, there were orchards full of not just seeds, but trees. And every tree had apples, and every apple had more seeds. So God's way of production was to create after your own kind, and it produces seeds. So don't eat all your seeds. Don't eat these seeds. And then verse 12 says, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, it didn't stop there, because as you go a little further in verse 20, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm after their kind. Everybody get this? God created everything to produce after its kind. And every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that that was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. So God created them to produce after their kind, and he gave them a command to produce and multiply. Amen. Seeds are meant to multiply. Amen. Are you with me? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. This was the evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. Now I'll be real honest. The creeping things, I got to ask God, why did he create creeping things to produce after its kind? I just want to smash creeping things. Some would say, well, after the fall, they weren't so creepy. But after the fall, they became demonic. Swarms come in. Well, that's just me. Okay. Creepy things. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, verse 25, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that was good. So in God's creation, everything was good. Amen. But then next verse, verse 26, then God said, let us. I love the us in us, because that's plural. That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came together. And let us, what are they going to do? Let us make man in our image. In other words,
we look like him.
One just like him. Woo!
Yes, yes.
Aren't you glad you weren't like one of those creeping things? I'm glad I don't believe in reincarnation. That you're going to come back and keep coming back until you get perfection. You get to come back as a cow in one lifetime and a horse in another lifetime. And who knows? I mean, if you're believing that, you might be a creepy thing. No, don't go there. Stay with me. Stay in it. Some of you, I can see your imagination going. Okay, stay with me. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So even the creeping things I got authority over.
That's right, you
can
step on it, man.
Amen. Keep the enemy under your feet. So that means, right, man, smash him.
Yeah.
It says all of his enemies are going to be put under his feet. So, man, sometimes you just need to smash him. Okay. Let's go. God created in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female.
Come on.
Period.
Hey.
God's creation only has two, a male and a female in it.
Say that loud. Say that loud.
Just in case you wonder how we believe. but praise God for his redemption. And God blessed them, God blessed them, plural, and God said to them, plural, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant, yielding, and it goes on. And it finishes in verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. He went from good to very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Chapter 2, we see kind of a recap of chapter 1. He puts Adam in the garden. He tells Adam, you cultivate the garden. You work the garden. So work was not part of the curse. Work was before the curse. You covet, you cultivate it, you protect it, you work the garden. And in the garden, God met with Adam and eventually Eve, but he took Eve out of Adam's side. So he took it not and made Eve something different. They were made in his likeness and his image together, male and female. So you go through all this, and Adam names animals, you know all that. But chapter 3 gets into this, talking about seed. In chapter 3 and verse 14, you can go through this, that Adam and Eve was tempted and she ate of the fruit. You know, as I read through here, it says you can eat of every tree in the garden. Every tree. So in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says that there's three trees. There were all the trees in the garden that produced all kinds of fruit. There was a tree of good and evil. And then there was the tree of knowledge. And he only told them, there's only one tree you can't eat of. That's what causes and gives us a free will to choose. Yes. Mm-hmm. I got to ask Adam and Eve, you had all the other trees. Yeah. Why that tree? Yeah. It's just like the devil, isn't it? Yeah. You watch your kids. You want to make sure they get tempted and probably give in to the temptation. Tell them, don't eat that tree or don't eat that. Yeah. Put it on the table. Put a chocolate chip cookies on the table and say, don't eat those. Those are for the company coming. Now, some of you moms are saying, that doesn't work. What do you do? My mom, what she would do when she didn't want to spread, she hid it somewhere. And my brother was a master finder. She hid it, but we were forbidden to go into her bedroom. That was the Holy of Holies with my mom and dad. But in that, she would hide tin cans that she had collected full of cookies and all kinds of things. I'll be honest, I never, ever crossed that line.
Yeah, right.
I didn't, ever. My brother did. And my brother would bring it out and tempt me, and I would eat. Sounds like another story? Okay. And I would eat, and then I would suffer the consequences. Sounds like something in the garden, doesn't it? Let him do the dirty work, but then I got, most of the time, I'm the one that took all the blame for it because he could cover it up good, but anyhow, okay. I'm off. Okay. We just shot that rabbit. The Lord God, verse 14. So this is what happened. After the temptation, the Lord God said to the serpent. Now we know who the serpent is because in Revelation chapter 12, he calls the dragon, he calls him the serpent, he calls him Satan, he calls him the accuser of the brother, he calls him the devil. So we know who the serpent is. And the Lord God says to the serpent, it's not the physical snake, you understand that? The snake is speaking, but it's the devil speaking through. This is demonic activity. The demonic wants a physical body to manifest through. And so this is the first manifestation of the devil manifesting in the earth. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you will go, and dust you will eat in the days of your life, all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. We need to understand that word enmity means I will put an opposition to you, or I'll make an enemy to you. It will be hostile to you. And this is what God said. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. That's what's going on right now. The devil is trying to take out the seed of a woman. Because if he takes out the seed of the woman, he takes out the heritage of God and the legacy of God. But God declared, I'm putting enmity between the two of you. He hates you women. He hates you more than the men. Because without you, there can't be reproduction and a multiplication and an increase. Artificial intelligence isn't going to do this job.
That's right.
It might get us a lot of knowledge, but it's not going to keep producing life. He says, be fruitful and multiply. So God said to the serpent, there's going to be enmity or war between your seed and the woman's seed. I like what he says here. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, and it's only singular there, because the he there is referring to Jesus. He will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. It's a picture of the cross. On the cross, Jesus was nailed. Satan only bruised his heel through the nailing. But he said that he, Jesus, will bruise your head. Ooh, I like that. So in the beginning, after the fall, God said to Satan, there's going to be a war going on. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, I'll just quote this scripture to you because I don't want to go there. I'll really get lost. It says, in verse 17, after, remember, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loving not their life unto death. As you read a little further, it talks about Satan declared war on the woman, and the woman is Israel in that scripture. And Israel is taken out for a season and hidden by God. But it says that when Satan couldn't defeat the woman or Israel, in verse 17 it says this, so that the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So here's a picture. God's not going after Israel, right? I mean, Satan's not going after Israel. He's going after those that are born again.
Yeah.
And this is what it says about seed in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. So you've been born again through seed. What was the seed? It's the word of God. But in that seed is everything that you need to produce life. It wasn't just getting born again and going to heaven.
That's right.
I mean, that's great, But in that seed, that incorruptible seed, is everything you need to live a life and life more abundantly here and now. So everybody's still with me. Let's go to the New Testament. Now we'll understand Mark chapter 4. Jesus teaches in parables. And we'll stay in Mark 4 for some time now. In verse 1, it says, "He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, 'Listen to this, behold, the sower sent out to sow.'" So if you don't understand that seed was God's idea in Genesis 1, you won't understand parables. "As he was sowing, some of the seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. After the sun had risen, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it and yielded no crop. Other seeds fell to the ground, into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So not just listen and tell this story about the sower sows the word. He wants you to have revelation. I want to tell you that dreams are seeds.
Come on.
Revelation are seeds. And in that revelation in dreams is a lot more than what you see on the surface. If you'll press in, he'll give you revelation. So it says, "He that has ears to hear." But verse 10 says this, "As soon as he was alone, his followers." So the crowd heard this, but the true followers pressed in to know what was he saying. The crowds listened, but they didn't hear. How many times do we hear a sermon, but we're really not listening? "He was saying to them, 'To you has been,'" verse 10 again, "'His followers, along with his 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, 'To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom. But those who are outside get everything in parables. So while they were seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven.'" Verse 13, he says, and he connects it with this. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable?'" One of the other gospels says, this is the chief of all parables. If you want to understand the kingdom of God, you must understand this parable. If you don't understand this parable, you can't understand the kingdom of God. And so he goes back. The disciples pressed in to know what the meaning was. The crowd just ran off and said, "Wow, that was good teaching. Wow, never heard anything like that before." But his followers said, "Teach us. Help us understand." Verse 14 starts, "The sower sows the word." The seed that God sows is the word of God. And that seed is just not the seed that you're seeing, just like in that package you're seeing. You can see the results of it. But I guarantee if you take it home and just lay it on the shelf, you're not going to get the results that the package says you can. In fact, I read the back of the packages, and it tells you even the culture that the seed will flourish in. Some in shade, some in partial sun, some in moist soil. So you need to read the back of the package. But the good news is you can plant it in your garden, or you can plant it in a pot and get results. Or you can keep it in the
package.
lay it on the shelf and look at the picture. Wow, aren't those beautiful flowers? Okay, just. The sower sows the word. This is what happens, and he tells you how it happens. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, the seed is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes. Satan wants to steal when it's in seed form. That's why he uses abortion.
That's right. Come on.
It's easy to abort when the baby is still in the womb, because once it gets outside, you got a lot of work to do. Is that right? But who comes to steal the seed? Satan. So when you hear a message on Sunday, I guarantee that when you leave the door, Satan's going to come to steal that word. And he's not going to come and just snatch it. He's going to come and through trials and tests. I hear people say, you know, that was a good message, but after I heard that message and went out and started to do it, man, all hell broke open. Because he came to steal that word. But in that word is your answer to prayer. In that word is your answer to what you're crying out for, what you're going through. When you show up every Sunday and the word ministers, and in that word is the potential to set you free, to deliver you. But you can't just take the word and say, well, the pastor said. You got to take that word and put it in your heart and speak it out your mouth. You got to water that word. That's what happens in prayer. You water it. You got, well, that's just the first seed. It just gets thrown. Oh, that was a good message. You go sometimes, you know, and in our family we're always asking, well, what was the message? Well, you know, you were there. Oh, you know, Pastor preaches the word. It was a good one. Well, what was the word? Well, you know. I mean, when we show up in our family gathering, I have the privilege of knowing what the word was in the morning. But if I'm not the one preaching, you know, I want to listen so that I can impart to them.
Amen.
And imparting to them, I'm watering that word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the best way to grow your faith is for you to be speaking it. Because the number one voice that you listen to is your voice. Come on. We all talk to ourselves. Some of us out loud, others inside. But the voice that is most loud to you all the time is your voice. And so faith comes by hearing. So what you believe, you're going to be speaking.
That's right.
You're watering the word this morning. When you speak it, when you go share it, when you declare it.
Yes.
It's watering. And what happens when you water? It starts to grow. Does it come up immediately? No. Let's go back here. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes, immediately, and takes the word which has been sown in them, takes it away. He snatches it out. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed is sown on rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. I'm glad you're that group. You're the group that comes in here and you get all excited about the word. And, oh, yeah. And joy. And, you know, you go out shouting, yes, that's it, yeah. Woo! You know, go down to the diner, you share it, and you get all excited, get everybody else excited in the diner about the word. But you know what? Because you got excited doesn't take Satan off his assignment. It says you receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, not because of you, get yourself out of this. It's not about you. Or it's not about everybody else around you. See, if you can't blame yourself, you blame everybody else or your situation. It has nothing to do. Affliction and persecution doesn't come because of you. It comes because of the word, the seed. Because it knows if that seed stays in that soil, your heart, long enough, it will start to sprout. And if it starts to sprout, it will start to produce. And what Satan hates most is when you start to reproduce what's going on the inside of you. When you start to multiply yourself. You start to seed yourself. I'll tell you, there's a lot of seeding going on. We're hearing miracles all over, not just here, but other congregations. I'm hearing them all across. God's sovereignly doing miracles. But he doesn't do them just because he's God. He does them because there's seed that's been sown. In fact, how many watched the rains that were in the desert? Did you know the desert is full of seeds? But you don't see anything. But this year was one of those special times when the desert got rains, downpour of rains. And now there's whole deserts that are full of flowers and wildlife. Go look it up. We saw this. We said, that can't be a desert. The seeds in the ground. His seed, when it's inside and it's watered, it's guaranteed to produce. There's no option. So Satan will come immediately to steal that word, or he'll bring persecution and affliction. Yes. He'll bring a test and a trial. How do you know if you're in faith unless it's tested? I had this just not too long ago. I had my grass treated. Just moved in the house, and, you know, the grass was a little bit rough, so I thought, well, I can do it, but I'll have it treated. Had to go read the instructions. It says in the next 7 to 10 days, make sure it gets watered. Well, I looked at the calendar, and there was no rain in it. It got about 6-7 days, and I said, I don't see any difference.
Yeah, you will.
Finally, I gave in and watered. Turned on the system, let it water. Nothing happened. I could have called the company and said, man, what's... And then all of a sudden, woke up one morning, and it was, boom, a brilliant green. Woo! And it started spreading until it's covered my whole backyard. I thought, woo! Now I know what my dad liked about having his grass cut and cleaned and all that. I wasn't that kind of guy, but I thought, whoa, this grass looks good. But I paid them. They came out, did the service. And they told me what happens in the culture. I have to water it. So the second one. There are those whom seed has sown on rocky places. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. They're so excited. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary then. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Well, if you're not one of those, maybe verse 18. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but what the worries of the world. Satan's got a strategy for those that stay in it. And he's in it for a duration. I'll try this for a week. No, Satan's in it for a duration, long term. And he uses an x-ray. Worries of this world. Do you think there's any worries in this world? I mean, they're like increasing daily. You know, if you're in America, we're probably have more worries of the world than any other nation. Some nations don't worry about car payment. They don't have cars. They have a bicycle. Some that aren't worried about electricity. Doesn't exist. Come on, you want to go on and on? They're worried about the next meal. We're worrying about what kind of meal we're going to have. The worries of this world, not the world to come, but this world, notice what else, and the deceitfulness of riches. Now I'm just going to, we had a conversation this week when staff meeting, and we got real honest, and it came up about infomercials. How many of you on the computer have listened to an infomercial and then bought the product because it guaranteed to deliver you of some sickness, some well. See, some were honest. Some of you saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. We got rough. We all done that. There's something for remedy for everything out there. And once you kind of just want to sneak peek in there, you get bombarded. How does that do that? Come on. The deceitful of riches. I mean, right now, this is the thing. Deceitful in the riches. I mean, you're not going to get rich overnight. Man, they'll hit you with that. So how many of us have doing, you know, I won't confess. Okay. Deceitfulness of riches. The desires of other things enter in. So deceitfulness of riches and worries of this world aren't hitting you. There's other things. Yeah. Satan makes sure it's covered. Because right. Why? His primary goal is to steal that word, snatch it out of your heart. Yeah. And it says, and these things choke the word. You know, when you start hearing people saying, I don't have time for the word, the seed is being choked. It's only a matter of time. Because the word is the seed. And when you water the seed, it will produce. Are you following this? In fact, in John chapter 1, it says, Jesus was the word, and the word became flesh. You stay in the word, you keep watering the word until it brings the result. You don't quit when there's no results. That's when you press in. Amen? So, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown with thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So the word becomes. God produced the seed to be fruitful and multiply. Verse 20, I love this. And those are the ones of whom the seed are sown on good soil. The good soil is your heart. You got to make sure, and we're saying that, give me a clean heart. Your heart needs to be pure to receive the word of God. In other words, it starts to run off. Good soil, and they hear the word. So the others heard the word. Now here's the difference between those that produce fruit. They don't just hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So the purpose of the seed is to produce fruit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And those that hear it. In Matthew chapter 7, you can go read it. It talks about the two, the foolish and the wise man. They both build their houses. Both of them hear the word One builds their house on the sand because he hears the word. The other one builds his house upon the rock because he hears the word and he's a doer of the word. Hearing the word won't produce fruit. You have to begin to water it. You have to begin to nurture it. Verse 21, he didn't stop. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed. It's not brought to be put on the lampstand. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care of what you listen to.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now. Take care what you listen to. Because not everything you listen to is going to produce fruit for the kingdom. It may produce fruit. It may give you a pleasure for a season. But it's setting you up. Are you reading? Are you seeing this? Be careful. Now say again. Take care. Be careful. What you listen to, by your standard of measuring it, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. In other words, whoever hears and accepts, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Then he gives us another parable. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed into the soil. You cannot understand the kingdom of God and how it operates if you don't understand seed. He says, the kingdom of God is like seed that's caught, cast in the soil. God's been casting a lot of seed. Every time someone gets born again, it's another seed that's being birthed. Satan's job is to wipe that seed out. And he gets up at, he casts seed upon the soil, and he gets goes to bed at night and gets up by the day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in his cycle because the harvest has come. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? Is it not like a mustard seed? Oh, this is good. Those seeds and those little things are small in your packets. But if you only see it as a small seed instead of seeing it, is a full plant with many seeds. He says all you need is a small seed of the word of God. You don't need a big revelation. You don't need more. A seed is, and it's the smallest of all seeds, a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. With many such parables, he was speaking to them so far as they were able to hear. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his disciples. So you take those seeds and just remember, they're a reminder of the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Peter walked on water on one word. Come. Woo, what a heavy word. But when Jesus speaks to your heart, it says go or come. You take that word and you water it. You start to speak and declare it. It starts to grow and then it starts to sprout. Amen. Now I want to say this morning, take a few minutes and pray. Because some of, ladies, your seeds, your children, you almost given up hope on them. You've been praying so long. But I believe today is the day to get you back into prayer. Get you back into seeing them through God's eyes. They're your seed. Amen. It doesn't matter where they've gone and what direction they're gone, but you have authority over that seed. And you can speak to that seed. That's why it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart. I mean, first thing, we need to train up. But some of us, you know, we weren't even born again when we first started having that seed. But that seed right now, he wants to bring forth. Start to call. I'm hearing about young people coming to the Lord just crazy. God sovereignly is moving, but he's saying right now, especially mothers, what he's given you, he's given you the ability to birth. He's taught you how to birth and bring a child in this world, but he's given you the spirit of travail. He's giving you the birthing so you can birth your children into the kingdom of God. I believe that. Amen. Doesn't matter where they are. Start to call them in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Start to call that generation in.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Right now, Father, I thank you. As I pray, I'm going to pray. If you have children, just stand up. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're stray or not, but just stand up. I want to just declare over you as ladies that are mothers. I mean, I just commend you in the job that you did and are doing. I marvel. The hardest job in the world is mothering. And fathers, you can stand up too, because I've seen some stand up. Because I'll tell you what, the best is to have father and mother together. But if they're not there, that's all right. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, shut your eyes and begin to see your child or your children. Begin to see your grandchildren. Some have great-grandchildren. Begin to see them. And Holy Spirit, right now, as we're looking and seeing the next generation and our legacy, our destiny, our seeds, open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see them through your eyes. We thank you, Father, that you called us to reproduce after our kind. And when we were born again, we're born after your kind. And so our kind is now for them to be born again into your image and your likeness. Their destiny is to experience you. Not in the future, but here and now. To release their destiny. To release their fullness of who they are in Christ. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. That, Father, we as men begin to travail with our wives, our spouses, and with the women. Together, Father, we begin to travail with all creation that's travailing for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And we call them back out of darkness. Open the eyes of their heart. We cry out to the prodigals that have turned and ran. We command them to come to their senses right now. That we as fathers and mothers with open arms are waiting for them to come running back. We're waiting for that phone call that we haven't heard their voice for maybe months or years. But Father, you know where they're at, and we call them out of darkness in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that with the power of agreement, that Father, you apprehend them. You snatch them out of darkness. We bind you, Satan. We know we're not ignorant of your mode of operation. You want to snatch the word, even the word that was sown in our children as young children. In the name of Jesus, we pray that word right now. We water it with prayer. It begin to take fruit. We thank you that you put them in situations with others that are encountering God, that right now, Father, a whole community, a culture of those being born again and coming alive to the things of God. Father, I thank you right now that we see this next generation and the generation after it, the current generation, the generation we're in, whatever generation, your generation, oh God. And in the name of Jesus, it's your desire and it's your will for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we call them in. We're expecting, Father. We leave the door of our hearts open. If there's any offense, we forgive. We forgive them. Forgive us if we've created offense that chased them away. We thank you. You forgive us. And we open up the door of our hearts and welcome, Father, and receive them back in the name of Jesus. For your word is seed. And Father, we thank you that we water your word with confession of our mouths. Thank you right now. I thank you right now. The power of the word. In the name of Jesus. It will not return empty unto you. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. To produce fruit and increase, to multiply in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for those that might be meeting with their children today. The gatherings, Father. We just thank you that there will be supernatural healings of forgiveness and restoration. That, Father, this would be a time of families exploding into their destiny, into their legacy. We just thank you right now for seasoned conversations going on, Father, all across this nation. In Jesus' name, celebrate our mothers. We honor them. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Well, with the eyes of faith, you know, see them coming back in. Don't just pray, see it. You know, start to see it. So I'm praying, I'm just seeing people coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They're hungry. People are hungry. We heard a testimony. Let me give you a good testimony about praying for the next generation. Our great-granddaughter, our first one, on Easter, she got her thumb slammed in the door. And we thought it just took the nail off, but when they went to the doctor, it took the tip of her thumb off. It was just hanging. They put her in a cast, and when she went back for the first look at the cast, they were expecting it to be turning a little bit pink and healing. Instead, it was completely black. This was 2 weeks ago. It was completely black, so they told them that, well, we'll put it back in the cast, but we're going to have to decide what to do. We might have to do some, might have to remove it or do plastic surgery. That was kind of their options, but they put it back in the cast. She went back this week, they took the cast off, and there was no black in it. It was all healed. It was all healed. The power of prayer and agreement, but it's a little two-year-old. In fact, they said they were going to put it back in a cast. They said, well, we have to put it back in the cast. It's all healed. In Jesus' name. So we give them praise. There's something about power of generation. Amen. Hallelujah. That trauma is broken off of her. She'll remember the healing, not the trauma. Amen. That's what God wants to do. He wants to break trauma. And there's some of you that trauma I'm just going to break trauma off of you right now.
Yes.
Trauma in your families. Trauma that happened in situations in your household when your children were young. I bind that spirit of trauma that has shut the door on and the openness for the gospel in Jesus' name. And we speak healing right now. In the name of Jesus. We call them out of trauma. In the name of Jesus. Set them free. Amen. Amen. Oh, now you get an opportunity today if you're meeting with the family members. Just love on them. You know, no matter if you tell, you know, your children, grandchildren, you love them and they turn, just keep telling them.
That's right. Amen.
It will soften their hearts.
Yes.
Just keep telling them.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God loves you unconditionally. Let's love one another in Jesus' name. We're going to have the ministry teams come, Susie and Prophet Susie and Apostle Linda, and those that are going to receive prophetic ministry today. And you can come up on this side if you would like prayer. If you're a mom and you just want prayer, you can come up on this side. But so we're going to be doing two things. If you're being dismissed, you can be dismissed and carry on conversation. But if you're going to receive prophetic ministry, you can come up on this side. You're going to be part of the altar teams on this side. And if you would like prayer, just come on up in Jesus' name. Especially if you're a mom and you need breakthrough, just come in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Just come.